Losing weight is one thing, but keeping it off, that's where it gets really frustrating. That's why Weight Loss by Hers now offers access to the FDA-approved Wegovy pill and the FDA-approved Wegovy pen. Wegovy is designed to help you lose weight and keep it off. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips, like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/48hours to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/48hours. forhers.com/48hours. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
There are people you are told to trust. Lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
A special 48 hours mystery.
She was a lot of fun when she wasn't trying to kill me.
Strange things have happened to the men in Catherine Shelton's life.
It was god awful.
His apartment was set on fire.
It's the worst thing I've ever been through.
Another ex was found beaten to death. She says she's not to blame.
Do you hurt other people?
Well, I don't intend to.
But Catherine Shelton admits she did shoot this boyfriend.
That bitch shot me. She shot me.
Did we mention she's a criminal defense lawyer?
What I try to do is get justice for the people who come to me.
Richard Schlesinger on a story of murder and betrayal. It's Texas Justice. You've got to see to believe.
I wonder what it is about you, though, that men you've been in relationships with have ended up dead or shot at.
No.
48 Hours investigates.
She's a bitch. 18 carat.
The Law and Mrs. Shelton.
Welcome to tonight's 48 Hours Mystery. I'm Leslie Stahl. Just say the name Catherine Shelton to anyone who knows her, and watch out. We can't even repeat some of the words people use to describe her. One thing almost everyone agrees on is that she is a shrewd Texas lawyer who knows the law inside and out. Through three decades of controversy, she's always managed to come out clean. But is her past about to catch up to her? Richard Schlesinger went looking for the truth about Catherine Shelton, and nearly everywhere he went, there was bad blood.
Hello.
Hello.
The lady on my front porch has been shot.
Okay, do you know who shot her?
No, ma'am.
She's saying, please help me, please help me. They're still chasing me. She's saying that somewhere down the way her husband's been shot.
It was this shooting outside Dallas that opened the latest act in a long-running melodrama of death and betrayal.
It was the loudest sound I'd ever heard because it was so close.
Marisa and Michael Hierro were shot at outside their home. Michael died at the scene, but Marisa lived and says she still remembers what one of her assailants said that night.
She screams, Shooter. Shoot her again.
Who screamed that?
Catherine. Catherine Shelton.
Catherine Mahaffey Shelton is Marisa's former boss. She's a criminal defense attorney in Dallas.
That's with almost no makeup on there.
It's been more than 4 years since the heroes were ambushed, and Catherine has never been charged with the crime. She says that's because she didn't do it.
I've never killed anybody.
You are telling me right now that there's no way you were absolutely involved.
I don't know anything about it. Absolutely no way.
She thinks she's untouchable. And she has a right to think that now, because she's done it again.
Catherine Mahaffey Shelton was reluctant to talk about her past, but her life story is a Texas-sized saga that spans 30 years with accusations involving, among other things, pantyhose.
Oh, this is pantyhose.
A pistol and a porta potty.
I don't ever look back at anything. Why would I? I think about what's going to happen next. I mean, life is an adventure.
Life has certainly been an adventure for some of the men in this lawyer's life. Back in the 70s, one of her former boyfriends was bludgeoned to death. She shot another ex-boyfriend in the back. Still another ex's apartment burned down. A man named with Catherine in a lawsuit was found with a bullet in his head. And a former client who accidentally hanged himself was found in Catherine's house, dead and naked.
Do you have the sense of yourself in the middle of this sort of storm that seems to always be brewing around you?
I'm in the middle of life, and I'm supposed to work through this and work these things out, do the best I can. It's not for me to reason why.
She was raised in a middle-class family, and a friend says her mother called her Annie Oakley.
I think anyone that has any connection with her needs to be afraid of her.
Do you have reason to be afraid?
I think I could, yes.
Catherine Mahaffey was just beginning to make a name for herself when private investigator Kent Ferguson first heard of her. In 1979, Ferguson was hired by the family of a Houston doctor named George Tedesco to investigate his murder.
He was beaten to death violently in his garage. His body was left there.
Catherine had dated the doctor shortly after she started practicing law. When they broke up, she sued him for divorce, claiming to be his common law wife.
How long had they known each other?
According to my investigation, they dated approximately 3 to 4 months.
You say dated?
Dated. I found no one who ever said that they lived together.
Around the time Catherine's divorce case was filed, Tedesco reported someone had come into his townhouse and taken some property.
Did he have any suspects in mind?
Catherine Mahaffey.
He named her?
Yes.
Catherine admitted taking things from Tedesco's house, but called it community property.
Then, about a year later, on the very day her divorce case was to be heard, Tedesco's battered body was found in his garage. The divorce was no longer an issue, but Catherine now claimed to be a common law widow and went after the estate. She lost. That case was closed, but the murder case wasn't. No one has ever been charged.
Personally, I doubt if it'll ever be solved.
Tedesco's family did file a wrongful death suit against Catherine and one of her clients, Thomas Bell. Bell had been caught with some of Tedesco's property. The lawsuit never made it to court, and neither did Thomas Bell.
He was found shot in the head by a .357 Magnum. Police ruled it as a suicide as a result of playing Russian roulette.
It was one more death of one more man associated with Catherine. She was never implicated in Bell's death, but it added to her reputation as a woman with a past.
I've read all the stuff about you.
I've read it myself. It's interesting. I wonder, who is this person? Boy, what an exciting life.
Even before she began making headlines, Catherine was making a lasting impression on some of the men she dated.
It was god-awful. It's the worst thing I've ever been through.
Attorney Ferris Bond briefly dated her in the early 70s. He says when it came to Catherine, breaking up was very hard to do.
probably the worst thing was burning my apartment, all my possessions. She stole my automobile, shot at me with a shotgun.
Catherine has denied doing anything wrong to Ferris Bond. Bond says he finally got away from her by joining the Marines.
Frankly, I didn't think that there was any way she'd follow me into the Marine Corps.
Catherine didn't want to talk about Bond or Tedesco.
There are some sorts of men who are really, really offended by me.
But she admits she may be too much for some men to handle.
I think it's my propensity to probably say exactly what I think to them at a certain point when I just can't hold it in any longer.
Do you like that about yourself?
No, because, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And hurting other people is, there's nothing to be gained from that.
Do you hurt other people?
Well, I don't intend to.
But just a year after Dr. Tedesco's murder, Catherine did hurt one man.
I was looking for a little excitement in my life.
And not just emotionally.
I mean, she was a lot of fun when she wasn't trying to kill me.
I've got a little hearing at 10 o'clock.
Texas attorney Catherine Mahaffey Shelton began practicing law in the 70s.
It was great to be a new lawyer and be going to work and having my own business.
She caught the attention of fellow defense attorneys.
At that time, I dare say, probably the prettiest criminal defense lawyer in the Harris County courts.
We'll meet you out in front.
When she walks, you know those little bitty whirlwinds that go off the wings of airplanes? She has that kind of effect upon people. So.
In 1979, when her ex-boyfriend was murdered, she attracted even more attention.
Good shot.
Particularly from one member of the press.
Time to get serious here.
Houston reporter Gary Taylor.
She was a hot item at the courthouse. She was intriguing because of the mystery of her past and the danger that seemed to be lurking underneath.
Catherine doesn't care to remember Taylor.
I don't consider him a relationship or anything. He's nothing.
All right.
But Taylor finds Catherine unforgettable.
It was like playing with fire.
Have fun, get drunk. That's what it's all about.
They started dating, and he says it was fun. At first.
When did you start seeing another side to her?
Within weeks. She has a temper that comes out, and she can't always control it.
And he says she kept talking about the unsolved murder of George Tedesco, her ex-boyfriend, who was beaten to death.
I heard her say this to several people. You better do what I say. You know what happened to George?
Taylor went to his friends at the Houston District Attorney's Office who were still investigating the Tedesco case. He suggested he and his roommate could secretly record Catherine on the telephone, and the DAs agreed. One tape became notorious when Taylor's roommate played it in the courthouse press room.
He needs to beg for my mercy before this is over with.
Catherine is heard demanding that Taylor stop talking to the DA.
He's got to beg for my mercy! I've never killed anybody in my life. I've never really wanted to, but he's doing so much to me! He better stop!
The tape was always known in the press room as the Exorcist tape.
Taylor says Catherine was furious.
She was very dramatic. She liked to tell me that I had entered the arena of death. And that...
Is that a quote?
That's a direct quote.
What was your response?
I kind of laughed about it. I mean, I wasn't sure whether she was for real or not.
Then, strange things started happening to Taylor. Like Tedesco, he discovered his home was burglarized. Catherine, he says, offered to help get back his belongings.
She insisted that I come over to her place and that she would have the stolen goods delivered over there.
He says when he got to Catherine's, she told him to look for his things in the bedroom closet.
It was so outrageous, but I did it. I went back and I got in the closet. As soon as I got in the closet, the lights went out and I heard a gun click.
He says he turned around and saw Catherine.
She took a policeman's position like this. There was like a hazy look in her eye. It was a pretty spooky look. And she started telling me about how this was it. This was how it was going to end.
Taylor says he tried to defend himself with the only thing available, a chair.
I went straight at her with the chair, like a lion tamer. She fired off a round. The bullet came through the chair and nicked me. I threw the chair at her. I ran down the hallway.
He believed he was running for his life as he bolted for the front door.
I opened the door, and that's when I felt the shot in the back. She blew me out through the door, and I can remember laying there on the ground thinking, yeah, that bitch shot me. She shot me.
He got up, he says, and started running again. Taylor ran three blocks before he got help.
But how badly were you hurt?
The ER doctor kept saying, I can't understand why you're not dead. The bullet stopped a centimeter from my heart, but I was fine.
I was sleeping in this front room here, and I heard the shots.
Ralph Bile was Catherine's next-door neighbor.
She looked like Farrah Fawcett. She's very attractive.
Did you like her?
Yeah.
For how long?
Until she happened to shoot this reporter.
Catherine was arrested and for the first time found herself facing a serious charge, attempted murder. The fiery defense lawyer now needed her own attorney. At her trial in 1980, they argued she shot Taylor in self-defense, and they said Taylor was a snake for making those secret tapes. Catherine never took the stand, and the jury deadlocked.
But at her second trial, Catherine testified.
And the jury got an earful.
Catherine's uncontrollable. And you ask Catherine the question, there's no telling what's going to come out of her mouth.
Jim Skelton was an attorney in the case. Her attorney.
One time I beat my head on the table. I bent over and was banging my head on the table.
Why did you bang your head against the table?
To try to shut her up.
Catherine claimed Taylor held a gun on her and said she was trying to get away from him, even though Taylor ended up getting shot in the back.
He knows what happened over there, and what I said on the witness stand was true.
Did you have a gun?
No, I did not have a gun.
The jury reached its verdict in a little over an hour. Guilty.
Catherine was sentenced to 10 years, but she never served one day. Her conviction was overturned on appeal, and rather than go through a third trial, she pled guilty to aggravated assault. She got probation, and she was temporarily barred from practicing law. Did you want her to go to prison?
I didn't really care. I actually thought she would be in more agony if she couldn't practice law, because she reveled in this.
Taylor still works as a reporter and has not seen Catherine for more than 20 years. She is out of his life, but still on his mind. So Taylor has put private investigator Kent Ferguson on a most unusual retainer.
Basically, I've retained him to investigate my murder, should it happen.
So he's Why have you retained him to investigate your murder?
In case it happens.
Catherine says Taylor recovered quickly.
While I regret the incident, and I don't go around shooting people, it was in the nature of a minor traffic accident.
She still stands by her testimony, but doesn't care to discuss the details.
How'd you end up shooting him?
Well, I'd rather not go into that because I really can't even remember, to tell you the truth.
She is far more interested in a more recent shooting. Man who's serving life for it.
I'm here to try to do the right thing for somebody who deserves it, and that's the only reason I'm doing this. He's one of the people who are close to me, whom I care for, and whom I love.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money. which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services from MyPay and Chime Card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grunes is designed to simplify that. Grunes is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention, vitamins at 100% daily value, and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grunes ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grunes is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors, and it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at grunes.co. That's code HOURS at grunes.co.
Catherine Shelton is annoyed that the man she shot 24 years ago,
and the bullet lodged a centimeter from my heart,
is still talking about it.
He just milked it for all it was worth. And I mean, if somebody had shot at me in their own home, which is really a violation of hospitality, I'd wonder what kind of a guest I was to merit that kind of behavior.
And she bristles at the notion that her relationships have eerie endings.
I wonder what it is about you, though, that men you've been in relationships with have ended up dead or shot at.
I've never been in a relationship with anyone who died while I was in a relationship with them. Both of my husbands are still alive. They were very normal people when I married them, and they're, except for one of them, the situation they're in now, they're in normal situations.
This is the husband in an abnormal situation. Clint Shelton, her current one. He's doing life for a murder he says he didn't commit.
Did you expect to be, did you expect to be arrested?
No, didn't expect to be accused, charged, or arrested.
How that happened is a long story. It begins in Mullen, Texas, the quiet town where Clint grew up.
You don't have no red lights. Not a one.
His father, Richard, still runs the family store, mostly hardware and feed these days. But it once was also a thriving gun shop.
There were showcases through here.
Run by Clint.
I won't say every day, but almost every day he was selling guns.
Then one day in 1981, Catherine walked into Clint's store and into his life.
I had taken a shotgun in to be repaired.
And one thing led to another.
Was it love at first sight?
Well, I don't know about love, but...
Lust at first sight?
I don't know about that either, but...
What was it?
One thing led to another, and we got married.
And he just seemed like a man of the West type person. And this is such a hackneyed phrase. He was there for me.
How was he there for you?
He was there for me because it was when this shooting of the reporter thing in Houston was all going on.
What attracted you to her?
She was brighter than most of the folks around, well, brighter than just about everyone that lived where I was raised.
She's intelligent. Don't think she's not intelligent. And she's mean to go with it.
Richard Shelton never warmed to his daughter-in-law.
She's a bitch. 18 carat.
Clint and Catherine settled in Dallas. He found work where he could, sometimes working for the local constable. Catherine knew the rules. She convinced a judge to allow her conviction for shooting Gary Taylor to be set aside. No longer a felon, she went back to practicing law.
What I try to do is get justice for the people who come to me.
Michael Hierro came to Catherine as a client when he was charged with robbery. His wife, Marisa, went to work for Catherine and soon became the office star.
She was simply indispensable. She would do everything for you that you needed done, whatever it was.
She also took on a lot of immigration cases. But then, 7 months after Marisa began working for Catherine, she left.
Under what circumstances did she leave?
I came back from the courthouse one day, and she and all of the staff were gone.
Marisa opened her own immigration consulting business here in downtown Dallas. Soon, she and Catherine were accusing each other of scamming their clients. And things between them got downright nasty.
She was threatening me. She was screaming at me.
It was something from a bad dream, being tormented in a high school by some horrible person from a girl gang or something.
She told me that I wouldn't live to see Christmas.
Catherine denies she ever threatened Marisa, but someone was out to get the heroes. On the night of December 20th, 1999, Michael and Marisa drove up to their new home in Rowlett, a Dallas suburb. Michael stepped out of the car and into an ambush.
It just happened. He tells me to go run. I don't even know how the door opened.
This is the weapon that was used to kill Michael Hierro.
Detective Supervisor David Neighbor says after shooting Michael Hierro, the masked gunman took aim at Marisa as she ran.
He got a live round in there, closed the shotgun, and then fired at her.
It's like a fire leaving a gun.
Striking her in the arm and upper chest and a couple of pellets in the face.
Marisa says as she lay playing dead, she heard a familiar voice coming from a second masked figure, urging the gunman to shoot again.
She said, don't be a pussy, do it. And he told her, I did, I shot her.
When they left, she says she stumbled to a neighbor's for help.
When the police get on the scene, the first things I say, Catherine Shelton.
Marisa eventually said it was Clint who pulled the trigger, but Catherine was calling the shots.
She was wearing a mask, you didn't see her face. Why are you so certain it was Catherine Shelton?
Because she spoke. She said it. I heard her voice. I heard her.
A lot of other people thought the Sheltons were involved, and many of them called the police when news of the shooting got out.
How many calls did you get implicating the Sheltons?
I was in the vicinity of 20 that evening.
But there was one call that quickly proved to be the most important. It was the call of nature. An officer felt the need to answer it and visited a nearby porta potty.
He shined his flashlight inside the portlet and discovered a mask and two latex gloves.
The mask was made of pantyhose with a hole cut out for the eyes.
Now this area was cut out by the lab to do DNA work.
There were telltale hairs and saliva on it.
The DNA went to astronomical numbers.
Prosecutor Toby Shook had all he needed to indict Clint Shelton.
The scientist said it was him, no doubt about it.
Was your wife involved in any way, sir?
But Catherine has never been charged.
I didn't understand why they didn't arrest me, because she was saying that I did it.
Still during Clint's trial, her name and her feud with Marisa came up a lot.
Catherine Shelton's name came up because that was what the motive was.
Clint Shelton never denied putting the mask and gloves in the porta potty, but says he did it the night before the murder. His explanation is a little complicated, but here it is. He says he was planning to divorce Catherine and wanted to call Marisa as a witness in his case. He says he was lurking around here outside her house to to make sure this is where she really lived.
I mean, why did that seem like a good idea?
To put on the mask and gloves? I didn't want her to be able to identify me. That's why I was wearing the mask.
He said he wore the gloves in case he got too close to the house.
I was going to touch the house, possibly, as I walked along it, or the cars. I didn't want to leave any fingerprints.
I mean, does that sound believable to you?
Oh, you have to know him. You have to know him. You know, he's an odd man. He's his own man. He'll do it his way.
Clint was contradicted by the porta-potty cleaner, who testified that he cleaned the porta-potty just hours before the murder, the day after Clint said he discarded his mask and gloves.
It was just a ridiculous story, and it was just an attempt for him to cover up his guilt.
It took the jury about 3.5 hours to pronounce Clint Shelton guilty.
What we told the jury in this case is, when we have enough evidence to charge anyone else involved with this offense, we would do so.
But Catherine is pushing to get the case back in court now, in her own way.
What's at stake in this trial for you?
Well, what isn't?
And she intends to name the person she says was really behind the murder.
The person who is responsible for Michael Hiero's death is still walking around.
To say that Catherine Shelton is at a stormy life doesn't really do her justice. A number of the men in her past, linked to her romantically or otherwise, have turned up dead. Still others have suffered bizarre mishaps and misfortune. But now this Texas lawyer is on the defensive again, suspected of helping to murder the husband of a former employee. Catherine's own husband was convicted of pulling the trigger. As you might expect, Mrs. Shelton is fighting back, using the law to her advantage. Here again is Richard Schlesinger.
It's been nearly 4 years since Clint Shelton was sentenced to life for gunning down Michael and Marissa Hiero.
Were you there that night?
No, sir.
Clint has never wavered. He's always insisted that he was home at the time of the murder. And despite what the prosecutors say, so is his wife, Catherine.
I believe that they were after Catherine. I guess they thought that I would lie to them and tell them what they wanted to hear about Catherine.
You don't have any animosity toward her.
Why should I? She's not the reason I'm here.
He is a man. He is a decent man. And he's not going to lie to get himself out of prison if it means putting the person in there who doesn't belong there.
But Marissa Hiero says that's exactly where Catherine belongs.
Am I mad that she's not arrested? Yes.
She says that's why she sued Catherine for the wrongful death of her husband, Michael.
She was there, and she knows she was there.
But Marissa's lawsuit didn't get very far. When Catherine and her lawyers began barraging Marissa with almost 200 requests for information, Marissa dropped the suit.
Did you feel threatened?
Yes.
Marissa's case was dead. But Catherine couldn't let it rest.
I'm not going to put up with any more of it.
These are the master's courts.
She countersued Marissa for malicious prosecution and libel.
I know that this creature, this Marissa, has ranted on for years, and she knows I wasn't there that night.
Marissa cast blame on her, Catherine says, to divert attention away from the real killer.
It is my considered opinion that Marissa is directly responsible for the death of Michael Hiero.
Catherine claims the whole thing, the ambush and the shooting, was orchestrated by Marissa.
Did you set up the murder of your husband?
No. No, and that's actually sick.
Remember, Marissa was shot in the arm and seriously wounded.
I was shot in the forearm here. They've pretty much had to rebuild my hand.
But James Murphy, Catherine's attorney, believes that can be explained easily.
I think she was accidentally injured by a gunshot wound that was not intended for her.
Murphy says Marisa had been making big money defrauding immigrants who wanted green cards, and Michael knew too much about it.
I believe that Michael Hierro was intended to die that night because he was going to blow the whistle on Marisa Hierro's immigration scam.
Were you promising people green cards, promising to help them get their green cards, charging them thousands of dollars for that?
No.
But documents obtained by 48 Hours show Marisa did charge high fees, and attorneys who represented several of her former clients told us she did little or nothing for the money. In fact, when a lawyer's group asked her if she was practicing law without a license, Marisa says she told them she'd shut the business down. And that was just days before the murder.
If you were defrauding aliens, that might be a motive for somebody else to take a shot at you.
Well,
somebody besides Catherine. Is it possible that a disgruntled client took a shot at you and your husband that night?
Well, I'll say that her husband's serving life in prison plus 20 years for shooting my husband and shooting me.
These days, Marisa says she's hiding from Catherine. She wouldn't even tell us where she lives, but she talked to us at a hotel outside Texas.
I'm not comfortable with traveling to Texas because then I put myself in Catherine's playground.
Catherine says she will press her case against Marisa even if she doesn't show up. Because Catherine wants to prove to anyone who will listen that she and Clint had nothing to do with shooting the Hierros.
I've had enough of all of this silliness, and it's beyond silliness, it's meanness.
Catherine and her lawyer insist Clint was railroaded with flimsy evidence, like when that porta potty near the Hierro home was really clean.
That testimony from the porta pot driver who testified he cleaned out that can is suspect.
It's suspect, says Murphy, because the porta potty cleaner ended up getting fired 3 years after the murder for falsifying his records. If the porta potty was not cleaned the day of the shooting, Murphy says Clint could have left his mask and gloves there the night before the murder, just as he testified.
It's an awfully unlucky coincidence for Clint Shelton.
It sure is. That poor fella is, he is a victim of circumstance.
As for Catherine, Murphy says there is evidence that all but exonerates her.
She wasn't and couldn't have been there that night.
Why couldn't she have been there?
Because of her phone records.
Those phone records show Catherine's mother called her house around the time of the murder.
All right, bye-bye.
Prosecutor Toby Shook.
Clearly, Catherine's mother was talking to somebody for a good length of time that night. Do you think it was Catherine?
I don't know who it was. That's investigators were unable to determine that for sure.
Shook stands by his case and believes to this day Marisa had nothing to do with the crime.
Did she seem too eager to implicate Catherine Shelton in this shooting?
No. If she was that type of witness who would have made something up, she would have simply said, these people didn't have masks on, or they pulled their mask off and were talking to each other, and I recognized their faces.
But Catherine says Shook recognized an opportunity in Marisa's story to get Catherine and get headlines.
I'm the answer to the prosecutor's dream, me.
Why?
Think of what he could, the mileage he can get out of me.
Why could he get so much mileage out of you?
I'm a lawyer. Controversy has swirled around me for 25 years. I sell papers.
Your Honor, our next witness will be Catherine Shelton.
She says she was nothing but a convenient patsy for Marisa.
There was a time when if Marisa here had walked through that door, I would have thrashed her like a bad little fat girl that I beat up one time in the fourth grade.
Now she says she's ready to duke it out in court.
If she has something to say beyond, oh, I'm so afraid of Catherine, then let's hear it.
On this show, we cover what happens in the hardest moments. But there's another side to every story. The people who show up. The ones who run toward crisis. Who stop the bleeding. Who bring people back. Doctors, nurses, first responders, the people who hold the line. Most of them, they wear FIGS. Because FIGS makes scrubs designed for performance. Lightweight, breathable, with four-way stretch and smart, functional details like moisture-wicking, antimicrobial fabric, and pockets where you actually need them. If you work in healthcare or love someone who does, you know how much that matters. Get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX for 15% off.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast, chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade, from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
It gives me pleasure to say that for her, the party's over.
2 years ago, Catherine Shelton was slapped with a lawsuit by her former employee, Marisa Hierro.
This started out to be a wrongful death lawsuit filed by Marisa against me for killing her husband. It has turned into something else.
Marisa dropped her suit. But today, in this Dallas courthouse, Catherine is turning the tables. She's suing Marisa, saying Marisa has falsely blamed her and her husband Clint for the crime. Catherine wants justice and money, lots and lots of money.
She needs to find a job, and we hope she'll stay at it for at least 30 or 40 years, because that's how long it's going to take to pay for all this.
It's an unusual trial.
Morning.
There's no jury, only a judge.
Marisa Hierro versus Catherine Shelton.
And no defendant, since Marisa is a no-show.
Are you expecting them to be here?
No, sir.
In fact, Catherine's lawyer, James Murphy, could have declared victory right after he got here.
He struck her pleadings and entered a default judgment.
Motion's granted.
And in plain English, that means you won the big battle just by virtue of the fact that this chair remained empty.
Absolutely.
And she didn't show up.
Absolutely.
But the trial, such as it is, will go on, even though there's only one lawyer instead of the customary two.
Any objection?
Murphy claims it all boils down to Marisa's accusations.
The woman doesn't have any credibility, and that's basically all the state has to implicate Catherine Shelton in this case. What is plaintiff's exhibit number four?
Number four?
Investigator Paula Cook says she's found Marisa used two different Social Security numbers, and she says Marisa seems to have married Michael Hierro before she was divorced from another man. But Marisa is not only a liar, says Murphy.
She's saying that somewhere down the way her husband's been shot.
Murphy argues she actually set up her husband's murder.
We believe that she knew who it was that killed her husband.
Because he knew too much about her immigration scam.
And the second shot was fired to make it look like that she was also an intended victim.
Murphy calls several witnesses who testify without worrying about cross-examination. But he saves the best for last, as Catherine Mahaffey Shelton makes an entrance like the star witness she is.
So I swear the testimony you're about to give in this case be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Step you got?
So help me God.
Under oath, Catherine has to face part of her own past, at least the part that involves Gary Taylor.
There was some contretemps with a reporter.
Some what?
Contretemps. He came to my home to confront me, and just, I've got to put it very bluntly, I shot the man.
She also takes a few verbal shots at the witnesses against her husband at his trial.
I mean, just a crew of gypsies, tramps, and thieves got on that witness stand.
It's an impassioned defense of an imprisoned husband.
My worldly purpose is to take him out of where he doesn't belong. He was always on the outside, always the outdoors. The change of the seasons comes and goes.
Catherine is on a roll.
I just try to keep going.
Setting the record straight about some of the nasty things Marisa has said about her.
And the worst thing, she says in here, this thing says I'm a coward.
Well, let me ask you.
My father wasn't a coward. My mother wasn't a coward.
We rest.
The judge is impressed with everything he's heard, even though he's only heard from one side.
Well, I think it was a very well-tried case. Makes a lot of sense.
It's a big win for Catherine. The judge rules Marisa libeled Catherine by accusing her of murder. Then he awards Catherine $5 million in damages and says that based upon the evidence presented, Catherine Mahaffey Shelton is actually innocent of the allegations of murder and assault.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Thank you.
A judge in Dallas signed an order saying Catherine Mahaffey Shelton is actually innocent.
It means nothing.
Detective David Neighbors says despite Catherine's victory in civil court, she could still face criminal charges.
We haven't been able to eliminate her as a suspect.
And prosecutors say Catherine's case will have no effect on Clint's life sentence. Marisa Hero wouldn't meet with us again, but through email, she vehemently sticks to her story and vows Catherine will not get away with her husband's murder.
I'm almost there.
Catherine Mahaffey Shelton is still practicing law after weathering all the storms and suspicions that have battered her for the past 30 years. It's a career, she says, that is more than a profession. Almost a calling.
When I was little, 5 or 6 years old, I wanted to become a priest. I just loved the idea of confession. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. I liked that idea of being able to help somebody to get back on track. As time went on, I realized I couldn't become a priest, but I became a lawyer. I try to fix lives that have gone awry.
With her career on the line, can Catherine Shelton fix her latest legal mess? Don't go away.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Catherine Shelton was in jeopardy of losing her law license when the Texas bar leveled more than 20 counts of professional misconduct against her. The charges included false advertising and overcharging clients. Shelton settled the case by agreeing to a fine and a 3-month suspension of her license. Now she's on probation and back in business. Given all that's gone on in her past, about the only prediction anyone can make about Catherine Shelton is that we haven't heard the last of her yet.
In 2007, Catherine Shelton was disbarred from practicing law in Texas for violations of professional and ethical conduct.